This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hey everybody, welcome to Lucha Underground, the world's premier Lucha Underground after show. This is the third time we've recorded the opening because we've had some technical problems. My name is Max, and joining me, as always...
It's Travis. Hey guys, how are you?
Yes, yes. I hope everyone is enjoying the Christmas spirit. Travis, pop quiz. If you scored, I'll give you a Lucha Underground character, and you just got them in a Secret Santa, so you have to tell me what you're going to get them for Christmas. It's a $20 limit.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But feel free to go up to 25 if you really care about this person and you want to subtly communicate that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Let's go with an easy one off the top. Dario Cueto.
Just the dime bag of cocaine.
Wow, nice. I also would have accepted liquor of any kind. Of any kind. Or a mirror, I guess, a small pocket.
Yeah, a mirror. That's good.
How about this one will be more difficult, I think.
Okay.
How about Pentagon Dark?
Maybe some the sparkles or like dazzle, like a bedazzler set for his chest gear, like spruce that up a little bit.
Oh, I love it! I love it! I think you nailed it. Because you know, in some circles it would be bedazzled, but in other more hardcore circles, that would be like they'd be like studs. You know, leather studs. Totally works. Yeah. And, okay, this one's going to be... I'm going to try to think of the most difficult person to pin for this. Okay. How about Dante Fox?
Maybe like some stress balls. You know, those things?
Oh, yeah, man. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right, cool.
Or if those are a little more... Because some of those look like really like fancy. Like, remember the kind that... Boys in the Hood, was it Lawrence Fishburne had those, and those look like they cost money, right? There's the brass ones.
Yeah, well, you know, they scale up with money, so it's a perfect Secret Santa gift, because you can go out and get $20 stress balls, and then you hit it right on the head.
Love it.
Cool. News and notes.
I had something. So, like, first confession here in the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, I'm out at my in-laws recording, and I know I packed my notes at some point. We took my daughter to get her picture of Santa Claus today. She loved it. But I think I had them in my pocket there, and like taking toques out and putting stuff on. It got somewhere lost in the shuffle. So I'm kind of calling it in the ring tonight.
Santa has your lit. Santa. Oh, do you think that maybe this is like some kind of premise to a fun family film where Santa has your Lucha notes and you've got Santa's list of who's been naughty and who's been nice?
I like it.
Oh,
that's good.
This would be great, because like the whole premise is mostly you going out and trying to deliver all these gifts, but then we keep cutting back to me and Santa talking about the latest issue of Lucha Underground.
The latest episode. Yeah. I feel like I'm forgetting to do something.
I love it. I love it. Let's skip. Mm-hmm. Let's not bury the lead. What do you think of the Luchasaurus?
I was going to ask if you'd come up with a name for it. That's what they called him, right? Or they started chanting.
That's what the crowd is chanting,
Yeah, it's different. It's kind of like, he kind of looks like, I don't know. Like, I remember Vega from Street Fighter. Like, if he had removed his mask, that's kind of, like, I mean, you see that he is human in the game when he loses. But if he had kind of looked like a... If they could have thrown a swerve at you and he turned out to be reptilian underneath there, I think this is what he kind of might have looked like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. He's got some Vega-ness to him. I think there's something there. I don't know if I can pin it down exactly what it is, but I'm with you. I think it also has something to do with, you know, Vega's stage where you fight. It kind of has like a Lucha Underground feel to it. The palette is the same, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like people, like, it's like a cage. It's an underground fight ring, basically.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I'm guessing you you liked his look?
I loved it. He's the tallest dude on the roster by far. Mm-hmm. No? Mm-hmm. He must be.
Yeah.
He just, I had no idea the dude was that tall until he came into the ring. It was like, he was stunning.
Yeah.
And he just kicked ass, and it was awesome. And the you know, Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago had no response to him whatsoever.
Yeah.
His other little buddy kind of got lost in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, he got a little Koopa Troopa.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Koopa Troopa. Totally. Yeah. No. I'm excited to see where that goes. And it does. And it sort of feels like now there is another character who can kind of go toe to toe. Who's on that same level as like a Matanza or a Mil Muertes.
Sure.
Or a, you know, whoever is going to end up either Cage or Tejano, whoever's going to end up like souped being up the after God. The being the vessel of the God or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice introduction. But which one of them is Pindar?
I think the big one, the tall guy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the other one.
Okay. You think, have we heard the name of the other one? It's not Michael Salamanderson?
No, it's not. We have heard the name. Because in last episode, Cobra Moon, when she was talking, giving her little speech, she talked about both of them. She referred to them by name, yeah.
Oh, she did go by name. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This is the premiere Lucha Underground.
I don't have my fucking
after
notes.
Show.
But okay. So, talking about total nonstop Lucha, and from that idea of what Matt Hardy's doing, what can Lucha Underground get from, or what can they learn from what he's doing?
That's interesting. So, I think that. I don't know. You know, I kind of feel like I'd have to watch it, dude. I don't really know. I think that it doesn't take itself. I mean, he's certainly like in on the joke, you know.
Yeah.
But I also feel like Lucha Underground is certainly self-aware as well. Mm-hmm. So that's it can't be about that necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know. I really don't know. I was thinking about this too. I think there is certainly. Consequence in what the like Broken Hearties are doing with the TNA, right?
Yes. Yeah. It all makes sense, especially this last one. Here's like the thing I was thinking is like, you know, that we saw Honky Tonk Man and then there was that little bit with the Arrogance and a reference to Rick the Model Martel.
Yeah.
And things like this, like that, those are just kind of throwaway and cutesy wootsy in Lucha Underground. Whereas everything has a purpose in the like it's so layered in and the way that they reference old characters and bring in old characters and reference to specific moments in wrestling history and stuff. It's everything makes sense. I don't know. I don't know if you can imagine. I just like, I think one of the best things about it, like it's been the best sort of storyline angle slash gimmick or whatever this whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is the only time I can think of where wrestlers have had full creative control over the match and the other characters and what they're doing. And that's kind of it. That's really exciting. Like that's kind of unheard of. And it can only kind of work in the whatever situation TNA is in right now that they would, you know, feel it was worth giving him this shot. And dude, like, I mean, like, I'm not giving anything away when I say it's heartwarming, but I said the ending's awesome. But just watching this guy with his brother and his wife and his son and his gardener, like, just have like the time of their life. They are having so much fun. And you know, you do get a sense of like a different kind of camaraderie. Like, I've talked about this with Lucha Underground, but I guess that's maybe something you do like. I mean, there's certain wrestlers who are like Jack Evans is having a blast every time he's out there, and you know, he's that's the kind of thing. You're right about like being self-aware and not taking yourself as seriously, and not maybe like here's the thing is not caring so much about production at times when there's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. You know, I'm beginning to think about Lucha Underground, and I wonder if the fact that the matches are not live is hurting it in a way, because they do so much post-production that it makes it feel maybe too artificial.
Yeah.
Things like layering, like the extra sound effects and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if that's necessary. I know you can't have as tight control over, like, you know, 44 minutes or whatever the whatever it is, 46 minutes. But it's like, it definitely loses a little something with all those edits. Mm-hmm. And every time they do one, like every time there's a match and then like they set up some tables and then they cut and now all the tables have been broken and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you don't feel, it takes you out of it. You don't feel like it's as natural, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I have beginning. And you know what? It's also that light leaking in from the goddamn windows at the top of the temple. You can't shoot that stuff in the middle of the day.
Like that.
What's that?
Yeah. I'm beginning to think it's always been like that. You're just starting to notice stuff. But I've noticed it almost like every episode.
Maybe. Yeah. It's so annoying because it just immediately takes me out. Now I can see the parking lot. Now I can see, yeah. You know, I can just picture it all in my head as this production.
Like a Carl's Jr. sign or yeah. something. That's what I imagined. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. The other thing, too, that is... that I think, because I can feel my own enthusiasm for Lucha Underground waning a little bit. I give them the benefit of the doubt that this is all going somewhere. But
yeah.
I was thinking, but where did my enthusiasm go from like season one and two to now? And I think it has something to do with, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think that the sense that there actually is, this is all heading in an actual direction and that there is consequence is kind of beginning to fade away for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That it mm-hmm. is going into that sort of endless soap opera state that wrestling finds itself in constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the beginning, it felt like there was consequence and it felt like all these stories were well thought out and that they had arcs and that they were going places. And now it feels much less like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. But I think like you still see that there is the long, like they'll remind us of the long things to kind of keep either, you know, keep dragging us along. But I just keep thinking like 40 episodes, man. 40 episodes.
That's what this season is, and they're gonna.
That's what I mean,
and that's what they want to shoot for season four as well. They want to shoot another 40. It's gotta go somewhere, and I think that's kind of what's lacking. I think that's what could put it over the edge is that if it feels like if they treated it like I know the tagline for these guys are constantly like this isn't a wrestling show. This is like a TV show about wrestling, but. Yeah. I really think that they're not taking that far enough. I mean, I would love to see the show Bible for Lucha Underground. Yeah. I want to see the show Bible. I want to know how much is really known about these characters. How much do they really have a plan? Because it's beginning at the beginning, it felt like, oh, you can just see the opening. You can see them laying clues out for these things. These things are going to matter down the line. But it feels so much less and less like that now.
Yeah. Anyways, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want me to? We'll walk you through it.
Yes, please.
All right. So the episode begins with our next Battle of the Bulls tournament match. We've got Jeremiah Crane versus Killshot versus Dante Fox versus Mariposa surprise entrance. I would be lying if I said I was not rooting for Mariposa.
Yeah. Was there a sequence before this or a segment?
No, there wasn't. It just went right into it.
Okay, cool. Even before the wow, wasn't there something at the start? There must have been.
Oh, I think there was probably like Matt Stryker and Vampiro.
No. Before we entered the temple, like before the opening of the show. Uh-huh. Or was it just the recap? Yeah, maybe you're probably right. Anyways. This match. I loved. I mean, when she started throwing the chairs and stuff. Okay, before we get like this grand question, we liked the first Battle of the Bulls match more than the second one last week. Which one did you prefer this week?
Well, let me just say. That's a good question. I mean, I think the overall match, I enjoyed the first one better, but I loved the ending to the second one. Loved it. LOVE capitals all across, man. That was so good. So smart. Such a smart ending.
I thought overall the second one was just smarter booked kind of thing. I think this one had a little less, a little more in the way of kind of leaps in logic. I'm thinking about that.
There was that one big bomb.
That one, like, kind of big electric chair, like, super, where all four of them kind of get thrown down through those chairs. Remember how nutty
yeah,
that was?
Yeah, yeah. The Tower of Pain or the Tower of Death.
Yeah, Tower of Doom, yeah, whatever.
They did that in every single one of these four-way matches.
Yeah, that's funny. With that, like, so what's his name? Dante Fox comes in and hits somebody who's about to do the, I think it's kill shot. Anyways, he comes in and hits the guy. And then just gets on the other side of the guy to help him. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, first he hits the guy to stop the one-man suplex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then becomes his kind of partner in crime. There was a couple things like that. But it was a lot more spotty overall, I thought, this first one than the last one. But I thought with the last one, I just think in general, I'd like that talent overall a little bit more. Okay. Everybody in there.
Sure, sure. I don't know. I thought I really like all these performers except for Mariposa, which is funny because, I mean, I don't have anything against her as a performer or anything, but just her as a character. This was a big episode for Mariposa, actually. She had quite a bit going on here. She even got a cheer. She got a chant.
Yeah, they were chanting for her. This was her best match. This is No Mas, obviously.
Yeah.
This was like, in terms of doing like real wrestling moves and some like, whoa, jeepers creepers when she hit her finisher on Killshot onto the sit up chair. There's a lot of sitting up of chairs, right? Like, you don't see that a lot. I loved, there was that one spot just before that, Dante Fox, was gonna flip them over, and he kind of looked at the stuff sticking out, or like the kind of chair leg sticking out. You just see this one reaction shot, like yeesh.
Yeah, this could go right into my spleen.
Yes. It had a lot more in way of those kind of nasty chair shots and lots of boots. I was noticing lots of boots in that one, right? That opened with everybody kind of kicking each other, right?
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Crane does work a good boot. I think I've been really impressed with him since he started.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Me too. His finisher in this one wasn't as devastating as the one he pulled off in Aztec Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Which was just absolutely mind blowing. Overall, that was good. I'm totally fine with Jeremiah Crane going on.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the sequence at the end with Killshot, like, wailing on Dante Fox, even though he was beaten. And it's sort of like, you know, he has this moment where it's like, all right, I'm done. I'm done trying to, you know, be your friend or whatever. Like, this is, like, you're my hated rival. It's sort of like, stamps
blood
that.
Blood feud, yeah.
Totally, totally. So I'm excited to see that. I'm sure they'll have a match at Ultima Lucha Trace.
Mm-hmm. You think it'll take that long?
I do. I mean, okay. But, you know, I guess we got, 25 more episodes? Holy shit.
Yep. This is what I'm saying.
But I'll tell you what. I can tell you from, and I appreciate the fact that you have taken my advice and not looked at any of the... episode titles, but Ultima Lucha Trace is 4 episodes long.
Yeah, well, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So after that, we end up we get our backstage sequence with Taya filming her documentary.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like the blooper reel. These guys just can't get it together.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it's good. We're starting to see a little more. We definitely saw a lot more, looked like a bit of an advancement of PJ Black's character.
Yes, this is true. We got to talk some more. Yeah, totally.
But no, especially at the end, the way that the last match played out.
Yeah.
It was fine. I do like, I think they've had to. Like I had said my theory about how I think Taya was supposed to win Aztec Warfare but got hurt, and I think with her getting hurt, they've had to kind of delay the Worldwide Underground split a little bit. But now they're definitely hinting at it again here more than, because I think they kind of put it on hold.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know if I totally buy into you approach it like you're very convinced that there was a worldwide underground split forthcoming. I've never really been convinced of that, but
you don't remember the
I do.
Pouty Jack Evans. That was kind of meant to be something.
Yeah, I think that I don't know, man. That could easily have just been them like having to deal with him, his mouth being wired shut, and not understanding.
Sure.
You know, him maybe taking a little too far. Who knows?
Like they were doing some kind of the writing on the wall early, and it kind of vanished, and now I think it's kind of back. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
And then so after we get the documentary sequence, we then go into a very long sequence of sexy star like working out.
Yes.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Okay, so that Sexy Star segment is literally, I don't know, how long was it? Like 3 minutes? It felt like it.
It did.
Probably a minute and a half or something, but
maybe they felt like they needed, you know what, let's put some sexy back in the star here.
In the temple.
I don't know
if that was all just to be that last reveal that someone put a spider in her locker. Like, that could have been done
in two seconds. It was literally 2 minutes from the beginning of when we cut to her working out to when she discovers the spider. So it's like the whole thing was a little bit over 2 minutes for whatever reason.
I think it was too long.
Yeah,
it was too long. What was after that?
After that, well, let me ask you: who put the spider in Sexy Star's locker, Trev?
Sorry, I mean, like, we do see later. I was going to talk about when she runs into Mariposa later, and Mariposa says that it wasn't her. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's problems with that scene because Mariposa's already been in a match earlier in the evening, and now she's back in her like kind of half wrestling gear and white t-shirt and back to just kind of twirling her hair. When come on, you got to be nursing your wounds,
busted up a little bit
at least, yeah. Kind of, or something like that. So there's some I think it's a bit of a continuity here, actually.
There you go.
Who do you think sexy star here? I don't know, maybe a new character, maybe Jeremiah.
Yeah, I could see that being a Jeremiah thing.
Mm-hmm. After that conversation with Katrina, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm down. I'm down.
I guess, yeah.
Or yeah. There's no spider like themed wrestler yet.
No,
but
not
there
yet.
Could be.
Not yet.
Nightclaw. It was Nightclaw.
Yes, it's definitely Nightclaw.
yeah. God. Okay, so then after the weird shadow boxing spider sequence, we end up back in the ring for Cobra Moon versus Drago. Now, I gotta say that Cobra Moon deserves, I think, a little bit more credit than she gets for what she's doing there. She is really pushing like the snake movements and stuff like this, and you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, I think it's obvious to anybody who watches a lot of wrestling that she is probably not the most dynamic in-ring performer. But I really got to give her props for really like embracing the character and adding all those snake-like movements and stuff to it. Like that's not easy to do. You look at, like, I couldn't point to Drago and be like, oh yeah, he wrestles like a dragon.
Yeah.
But I can point to Cobra Moon and say she wrestles like a snake.
Yeah. Which is what she's, that's her gimmick, man. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, just wanted to throw that out there.
Cool.
So anyways, yeah, they go back and forth a little bit.
You think? I thought it was mostly. It was about to be a squash. Like what's his name? Drago was really dominating in this match.
Yeah, totally.
And then the boys showed up. That's the way Koopa Troopa should end.
So the one guy, the guy who looks like a Koopa Troopa, comes in, and
or is it more like a Hammer Brother? I should say Hammer Brother. He looks like a Hammer Brother.
sure. Either way, he comes in. And he starts beating down Drago, and then in rush Phoenix and Aerostar to save the day. They dispatch the Koopa Troopa Hammer Brother, the Mushroom Kingdom turtle guy. And then Cobra Moon like does some weird chanting or something and summons Pindar, who is the tallest dude in the history of Lucha Underground, I'm sure. It's just such an interesting look. The guy is so wiry, you know, but he's also so tall and he looks just so strong. He's absolutely
got Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he absolutely crushes both Aerostar and Phoenix.
Phoenix would come out, yeah.
Yeah, and he just walks away looking absolutely dominant. And how cool is that mask? God damn.
It looks very real.
Yeah, it is solid stuff.
See, I love that they go for it. Go for it with that goofy shit and stuff. But at the same time, when I do see that, like, it's kind of like if you freeze frame some of what was in that match. And just kind of like, hey, there's the show I watch. That's kind of what people, you know. So you watch it with your daughter? So it's like I love, hey man, creative risks. I'm all about creative risks.
Totally.
Even if you do fall on your face,
and you'll notice that they, at the end of that sequence, they actually like kidnap Drago.
Oh yeah,
they take him away. So maybe he's gonna come back. So here's my guess: eventually we're gonna have a trios tournament coming up here. We're gonna get Pindar, the Koopa Troopa, and Drago will be like brainwashed. Maybe that's my guess.
Yeah, well, Drago still has the belt. For the other the other guys, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I think it, like, I think you're on the right track, so it could just lead to like a betrayal with them, right? Something like that.
Yeah, totally. Oh, so this is what you do. You put Aerostar, Phoenix, Drago in one match versus Cobra Moon, Pindar, and Koopa Troopa, and then you have Drago turn on them in the middle of the match. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And then you can have a three-way in Ultima Lucha Trace: Aerostar, Phoenix, Drago. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Cool. Well, I guess that doesn't quite work. Something. Or maybe Drago like and Pindar, something like that.
We still got to see where all the. I feel like this. It's got to lead up to. you still got 25 goddamn episodes to go. It's got to lead up to that, the seven Aztec tribes in some way, the war.
We still haven't seen the duplicate Son of Havoc either.
That's right.
Remember, Son of Havoc fights himself in that trailer.
In that trailer, yeah. And it looked like there was one extra Mundo, too.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still a lot. And Daga with a sword.
Yeah, Daga with a sword. Oh, man, so much stuff going on. So that's what, you know, when we say, like, there's 25 episodes, what are they going to do? Well, dude, they got so much. They have much stuff going on.
Yeah.
So after we have, after the whole kidnapping of Drago situation happens, we then get Sexy Star, confronting Mariposa in the hallway backstage about the spider. And we talked about it already, that basically, you know, maybe some continuity stuff there.
She declares her innocence.
Yeah. And I would believe her.
Me too.
Yeah. We believe her. So, you know. And then we're back in ring for our final Battle of the Bulls. PJ Black versus Son of Havoc versus Jack Evans versus Angelico.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Yes, I liked it. I liked this one quite a bit. Or I liked it more than the first one. I went 3 stars on it. I loved the dynamic of the characters, between the characters, I should say, because Son of Havoc and Angelico are former trios champs, so there was history there. Then there was the dissension kind of that started early and then got paid off at the end between PJ and Jack Evans, and like early when he kind of went for a quick pin on it. I think it was Jack Evans went for a quick pin on PJ kind of thing, and he kind of points at him.
Yeah.
But they kind of got back on the same page after that. And there was just, it made a lot more, the move made a lot more sense. It wasn't as spotty. And really good finish. I love that that kind of double stomp that Son of Havoc does off the top there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see, like, maybe we're finally going to start to see PJ, some more personality in PJ Black here.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there would have to be, if they are going to split them up, then, mm-hmm. It's going to absolutely have to happen. We'll see.
Yeah. And Angelico got a really nice response from the crowd. Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, I went 3 on this one. Mm-hmm. The first one wasn't a bad match, just wasn't as good as this one. But who's in our final then now?
We've got Cage, The Mac, Jeremiah Crane, and PJ Black.
Mm.
And then the winner gets a shot at the Lucha Underground title.
Yeah.
And presumably that would be Johnny Mundo or Sexy Star.
Sexy Star, yeah. I thought that match was going to happen in this episode.
That's what I thought, too.
Just kept checking the way that they were selling it at the beginning. They got across what they need to get across. Who are you picking?
Well, it's not going to be Cage, because Cage has got his Tejano business to take care of. Mm-hmm. I would love for it to be the Mac, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it could be Jeremiah Crane. He needs something a little extra and to propel his story forward. And then PJ Black, too, would also make a lot of sense, because if it's PJ Black, that means...
Versus Mundo, yeah.
Yeah, then you get that sort of interesting... that would definitely be the PJ Black's first match of consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. First singles match of consequence.
That's right. Yeah, I should... Cool. it could be interesting. Other than that, let's see what at the end of this match, what did you think about the pin?
Oh yeah, it was great. Like when he's laying down there, and at first I was like, I was fine with it, because I liked that he played him, right?
Oh yeah, but it just made so much sense. You know, there's all these types of stupid contrived situations come up in wrestling all the time, and people just the wrestlers, the performers, they just take these huge leaps in logic.
Leaps of faith, yeah.
Yeah. But this makes absolute sense. Okay, one of us needs to win. Even it's a fatal four way. Why don't you just pin me right away? You know,
mm-hmm.
And they did that a couple of times, I think. But
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, I like the finish, because it basically spoke to the conditions mm-hmm. that Johnny Mundo had laid out earlier, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't. Like, there was that one I'd never seen, it was a suplex off the top rope to the outside. And it was caught by two of the guys. I think that was in this episode. That looked really dangerous, but it was awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember. Like, there's certain spots that stood out, and that was one of them I can remember.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then after the match, we get Dragon Azteca Jr. coming to visit Rey Mysterio, who is just sleeping in his gear.
He's at some sort of homeotherapy.
Yeah, he's in a spot. Totally. Totally.
Yes. In full gear.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just get the sort of like typical conversation between mentor and student. You know, we see mm-hmm. this is a trope that we see all the time in Lucha Underground. The student is saying he's ready, and the master saying you're not ready, and the student saying no, I am ready.
Yes, yeah,
and then walking away. And so we see that all the time, and it never works out well for the student. You know,
yeah. But they had to do it if they're wanting to show. Whatever, like this, it is accomplished what they're trying to do with their story, right? He's no longer. Now we know that he's kind of going rogue.
Yeah, totally. And we could see. I mean, it's good when you break them apart like that. Then you know it opens up more possibilities for all sorts of different things. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
And it gives you a possibility of them. One of the possibilities is they have to, have a feud.
Totally. Okay, next week, the episode is it is called The Battle of the Bulls, and mm-hmm. Here's our description. The tournament winner gets a title shot against the winner between Johnny Mundo and Sexy Star. Okay, so I guess we'll have our tournament final next week. Here's a great one. Drago's fate is revealed.
Ah, all right. Very good.
So it should be good. Looking forward to it. Now, I wonder
if she's gonna dress him up. You know what I'm saying? Throw some fancy gold on him.
New gear
or something.
Could be cool. Yep. I'd be down. Are we gonna do this next week, or are we gonna take a break and come back in 2 weeks?
Well, I'm in Calgary. I mean, I do plan on recording with Kelly one last episode while I'm there too. So. If you can find some time. It's up to you. And we can kind of call it on the fly, see how things go.
Okay. Yeah. Let's call it on the fly.
Sounds good. We do want to. I want to quickly give a shout out to Rias, Mr. Cortez, who retweeted us. He likes our idea of the Lucha City Nights spinoff. So we'll see where that goes. You know what I was thinking about that? I had one more thing I wanted to say about that is that Honky Tonk Man's character within the Lucha Underground universe would not have to change at all.
Yes.
You know what, all right? Like, that's just like, he's probably, I think I can put him in charge of like the evidence room. They have to go to like,
I see. Yeah. Oh, so you want to take Honky Tonk Man's character.
Yeah.
And put him in.
He only shows up City like Nights. one every five episodes. There's definitely have to go to the evidence locker.
And he, every time he's pulling out evidence, he also includes at the end one giant key.
Yeah. Like, and then to the point. Yeah. And the crowd like a responds like with warm applause. Yeah, one giant key.
Yeah. One giant key.
It's the dynamite.
It is. Fun stuff.
Awesome. Cool.
All right, man. We'll be here next week, maybe. But if we are, the question is, will you join us?